And time for me to welcome back to the program Calvin Ganek, who is a former police officer and is now the managing director of Ganek and Associates. He specialises in criminal law and professional misconduct. So if you have a question for Calvin, now's the time, 133-882. Welcome back to the program, Calvin.
Hey, Sophie, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've got to say, I've been a little gobsmacked. During the new news headlines there, Calvin, I was doing a refresh of the news headlines, and I've seen a headline about a story that I remember at the time that this happened. It was a man who bludgeoned his wife to death with a sledgehammer. And we're getting more of the details now that he's facing court. And it's another one of these horrendous cases of domestic violence that has ended in death, where during the prosecution, he basically tries to blame his estranged wife for what happened, saying that he was driven to this. It basically says he then blamed her for her own death, saying she drove me to this, basically.
Yes, I'm not familiar with the case as it comes to light at the moment, Sophie, but I think you and I have had similar discussions about these on previous programs. Usually it's sometimes the other way around, where it's a distraught female that has been at the hands of a male, often described as battered woman syndrome. And then there are these occasions where it's attempted to be argued in reverse, which on occasions are very unfortunate and very sad, with the blight that domestic violence is on society as a whole.
Yeah, I think it's also that we more broadly need to change the way that we discuss it. Now, the other big defamation trial, obviously, that's been on everyone's lips in the last few days, and I know that defamation is one of your particular areas of expertise, is what has gone on with Ben Robert Smith. And I should say that 4BC is owned by Nine, the same owners of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, who were a part of this case. But as it is your speciality, how often does a defamation case like this end up the way that it has?
It's a landmark decision for a number of reasons. A lot of legal commentators are astonished with how this has played out. And really the most astonishing thing here is that it was Ben Robert Smith who pursued this legal action himself. That seems to be missed in a lot of the, social media comments that I've been reading. Why are people going after Ben Robert Smith, et cetera, et cetera. But something that's not properly reported, I think, is that this proceeding was brought by him, pursued by him for the last few years, and that's quite substantial in itself. We wouldn't have arrived at last Thursday had he not brought the proceeding. And of substance is that the substantial truth defence that was successfully run by the respondents, the media organisations, that was based significantly upon the evidence of his colleagues, other SAS operatives. So, from a legal standing and also a factual standing, it's quite an astonishing case.
I noted in Justice Bosenko's remarks that have then subsequently been made public earlier this week, he says that the applicant, in this case, Ben Robert Smith, has motives to lie, being a financial motive to support his claim for damages in these proceedings, a motive to restore his reputation, which he contends has been destroyed by the publication of the articles, and significantly, a motive to resist findings against him, which may affect whether further action is taken against him. It made me wonder two things in this particular case, Calvin. One is, an appeal is only now going to be available as an option for Ben Robert Smith if he continues to have some sort of financial backing, because already he will be up for restitution by both sides, by the costs to him and also for those who are defending themselves. But then what happens in terms of the potential criminal case that could be brought against him?
Yeah, so that's the unknown, I guess. There's a lot of speculation at the moment, you know, from more administrative matters such as what's going to happen with his Victoria Cross, through to what may or may not happen, as you point out, in the criminal jurisdiction. So everyone would be aware of that there is a inquiry or criminal investigation going on in regards to other matters involving the military at the moment. And, you know, it is possible that an investigation into war crimes, which ultimately would be the murder of the people involved in this case, an investigation commenced and a decision made as to whether there was any criminal convictions, criminal charges available to pursue. We must remember, though, that the standard of proof is very different.
Yes.
The standard of proof in the defamation proceedings was a balance of probability. What was more probable than not. In a criminal jurisdiction, it's obviously beyond reasonable doubt. If I could just, Sophie, you read out part of the decision that talks about how Justice Bezanko assessed credit in regards to Ben Robert Smith. In that same space, Justice identified in regards to the other witnesses that there was, and I'm just reading from the judgment now, there was no evidence of a plausible motive to lie or collusion between the witnesses, and found that they were independent and had no interest in the result. So reading what you pointed out and also what I've just identified, that's a really short summary of the crux of how the justice come to the conclusion that a substantial truth defence had been demonstrated.
Do you think he will appeal?
Oh, listen, I don't know. I think it might all come down to finances, to be honest, rather than any legal point. But it's certainly a watch this space, because there's a number of avenues where this could move forward. And, you know, I described it as a landmark decision. It probably is a landmark decision in it. It'll give the media some more confidence in that space because of this outcome, whether right, wrong or indifferent. But it's certainly unlike any other defamation proceeding this country's ever seen, I would think.